Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that it is to be in your house today. God, we thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. God, for giving us a place to come worship you freely. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you brought us from. God, what you're doing in the midst of us and what you're going to do. God, as we go through this message, I pray that you'd anoint my lips. God, give me the exact words that you'd have me to preach. Not a word more and not a word less than exactly what you want. For it's in your heavenly name that we do pray. Amen. When we come to Ezekiel chapter number 37, we find the prophet Ezekiel. He is speaking here and he says that the Lord carried him out in a vision and set him down in the midst of a valley which was very full of bones. And I do understand the end times prophecy that is in this context, but I believe with all my heart that this is also here for some personal application. I believe we can take this text and compare it to ourselves. For it did say that these bones that were in this valley were the whole house of Israel, and that is God's chosen people. And we in this place today are God's chosen people. If you are in here today and you are blood bought, you are signed, sealed, delivered on your way to heaven, you are part of God's people. And I believe that this passage of scripture we can take and apply to our lives. It says the Lord set him down in this valley which was full of bones. These bones were the whole house of Israel. Verse 9 tells us that they were slain, which shows an enemy. It said that there was an enemy that defeated the entire house of Israel. That's a powerful enemy. The enemy that defeated the whole house of Israel. But Ezekiel says that I saw these bones, but the Lord told me, he said, prophesy unto these bones that they may live. So he prophesied as he was commanded, and the bones came to the bones, and the flesh came upon the bones. But it didn't stop there. The Lord told him once again, he said, prophesy unto these bones that they may live, and I will cause breath to enter into them. And he did. He prophesied unto the wind, and from the four winds they came and breathed the breath of life back into these bones. But then it said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I believe in this point right here, after God revived his nation, at that point, they knew that he was the Lord. They gave him the glory for where he had brought them from. And I believe with all of my heart that when Ezekiel sat down in the midst of this valley full of bones, that has a perfect picture of the church today. Nothing but a valley full of dead, dry bones. Nothing but a valley full of dead, dry bones. I believe we can apply this passage of scripture to our lives and say that just like this passage with the dead, dry bones that are getting revived, we need to see that in the church today. When y'all just got back from camp, y'all got done shouting the victory over what God did at camp, the souls that he saved, the young people that he revived, the lives that were changed. But it doesn't have to stop there. You could bring it to this church, a valley full of dead, dry bones, and say, Lord, yes, it's been tiring. Yes, we've been tired praying and praying, wanting to see you do something in our church, but we're not going to stop there. Until we die, we are going to go to your throne room and beg you and plead with you to come do something in our church. If you believe that God could do something in this church in the year 2017, say amen.
Amen.
Any person who's right with God would say yes. I know we can talk about the revivals that happened 50, 60, 70 years ago, but you've come by too late to tell me that God could not do it in this day and age too. I know it is 2017. I know the days are looking rough. I know every time we walk down the street, we see more and more wickedness coming up about us. The Bible says it will clearly wax worse and worse, but I believe with all of my heart that God is not done. I believe with all of my heart that until that trumpet sounds, he's still going to have a voice. I believe until that trumpet sounds, there's going to be sinners calling unto him in repentance. And I believe that the church can still be revived. When we go through this passage of scripture, I see three different characters that I want to focus on. Number one, I see an enemy. My first point, the destructive doings of the foe. The destructive doings of the foe. You say, preacher, when I come to this text, it doesn't mention the enemy. It does in one word. Verse number 9, it says that these bones were slain.
That's right.
A slaying from a very vicious, violent enemy. Number 1, these were mighty doings. These were very mighty doings. Because verse number 10 tells us that after the bones stood up, it says that they stood on their feet an exceeding great army.
Right.
For an enemy to be able to defeat an entire army, an entire nation, that must be a very powerful enemy. That's a very violent enemy, a very vicious enemy. And let me tell you today that we do have an adversary, the devil, that walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I believe that he is in this very place right now, tapping on the shoulder of somebody, trying to get you to turn around. Like they sang a little while ago, I'm not turning around. I've come too far to look back. I believe with all of my heart that there is somebody in this room that the devil is trying to destroy. Do not think that just because you have a great prayer life, just because you feel that you are very in touch with the Lord, that the devil is not strong enough to destroy you. The devil is very, very strong today. He is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not only a lion that is dangerous, but a roaring lion. He shows off his power. He likes to show off his power. But he's not as powerful as my Lord. He may have some power, but my God has all power. He may have a little bit of power on this side of the earth, the prince of the power of the air, but I know the God that knows everything, can do anything, and will do anything for you that you ask. I know the God that's more powerful than this adversary. They were mighty doings, but they were also merciless doings. For it said they were slain. That word slaying is not only a killing, but it is a very violent killing. A very violent death that these people experienced. But it said it was the entire house of Israel. This enemy violently killed mothers, daughters, fathers, and sons. Senior citizens all the way to the youngest. And let me tell you this, parents, the devil does not care how young and frail your child may be. Senior citizens, he does not care how old and frail you may be. He wants nothing but to destroy you, to devastate your house, to devastate your family, and to come in on the inside of these walls and destroy it from the inside out. Never has a church been destroyed from outside oppression. It is always the devil sneaking in and destroying it from the inside out. And I believe that 90% of the time where he destroys it from the inside out comes from right behind this desk. It comes from right behind this desk. And I want to focus on that next. We had the destructive doings of the foe, but now we have the direct obedience of the follower. We have the prophet Ezekiel in this text.
Yep.
It says here, and I want to focus on this for just a little while because this really struck me as something very odd. Look at verse number 7. Yep. The first 7 words of that verse say, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." Yep. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Yep. When you go out through the Word of God and you study the Word of God, a few times you will see God give an instruction to somebody, but then you will see what they actually said under it.
Yep.
But it's along the same lines and it still gets the job done. But here, I don't see that. And you may have some way to prove me wrong, but for right now, you can't. I'm the one preaching. So I'm going to say this. I believe that verse number 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." To me, that looks like exact obedience.
Yes.
The direct obedience of this follower was exact.
That's right.
God told him what to say,
yes,
and he said it.
Amen.
It didn't give us what Ezekiel said, because Ezekiel said the same words that God told him to say.
Yes.
And every single time this man of God gets down on his knees to pray for the sermons that he's going to preach, I believe he prays, "Lord, let me not say a word more and not a word less than what you want." Like I prayed a little while ago, but I step behind this sacred desk, there's not one second that I want to say anything that is in my flesh, because we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I believe that we ought to say exactly what God wants us to say.
Yes, sir, preacher.
I am a young preacher, but I'll say that to the young preachers too. When you get down on your knees and you ask God to give you a message that you have to preach, tell Him, Lord, would you help me to say nothing more and nothing less than exactly what your will is for this message?
Amen.
His obedience was exact.
Yes, sir.
But because it was exact, it was effective.
That's right.
Verses 7, 8, and 10, we see God doing exactly as Ezekiel prophesied.
That's right.
Because of His exactness, He found effectiveness.
Yes, sir.
And I believe with all of my heart, like I said, that many, many of the problems, while we have a lot of lost church members, while we have a lot of dead, dry bones in our churches, is because of the words that are coming out from behind our pulpits.
That's right.
Don't get me wrong, a lot of the problem does come from the pews. Because I sit in a pew, I sit in a pew 90% of the time that I'm in a church building. But I believe that a lot of the problem comes from behind our pulpits.
Yes,
we're not preaching exactly as Christ would have us to preach. Whenever we get down on our knees, we're saying, Lord, just give me a message that I could preach that day, not just the message.
Yeah, sure.
I want the message.
Yes.
Not just a message, but the message. Because there's somebody in this room today that needs to hear the message.
That's right, preacher.
We need to get back to preaching as God wants us to preach. And not only as God wants us to preach, but as you go about your daily lives at the workplace and at the schoolhouse, there are many, many opportunities for you to share the gospel. But you cannot just share the gospel out of what you want to say. You must share the gospel by the Lord's terms. When He points one out for you to witness to, you need to say, Lord, give me the wisdom of what to say. I want to say exactly what you would have me to say to this person. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Because if we preach in our flesh, there's many, many times that we will mess up. You may hit the mark, but 99% of the time you're going to mess up. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I told you I was going to be quick. Sister Eric, you come to the piano for me, please. I'm going to give you my last point, and I'm going to be done. This story did not stop here.
That's right.
When we come to Ezekiel chapter number 37, like I said, I see those three characters.
Yes.
The devil, the follower,
yep.
But I see another character. And that is the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If you're taking notes, you have the destructive doings of the foe, the direct obedience of the follower, but I see something else that's very important.
Oh, yeah.
The divine intervention from the Father.
That's right.
The divine intervention from the Father.
Yes.
This entire story that I just preached to you could have gone exactly like it wanted it to, but it had no effect had God not stepped in. Ezekiel could have looked at those bones. Go ahead and start playing, sis. Ezekiel could have looked at those bones and prophesied all day long. But until God stepped in, it would not have worked. Those bones to this day would still be laying there. They would have never seen revival. They'd have never had the breath of life brought back into them had God not stepped in. When Ezekiel looked at these bones, after the bones had done come to bones and the flesh had done come upon them, they lay there. They look alive. You could touch them. They feel alive. They have hair. They have skin. They feel like a normal human. There's just one problem. They have no life. They have no breath on the inside of them. And until Ezekiel called a higher being from the four winds to come and to breathe the breath of life into them, they'd have stayed exactly the way they were. And let me tell you something, friend. Until we get on our knees before a thrice holy God and beg Him to do something in this church, we will lay here like a bunch of dead, dry bones until the God Almighty of heaven above comes and breathes the breath of life into us that we once felt, though that we once shouted the victory over. I believe we will lay here like dead, dry bones. Somebody needs to get on their knees and beg God to do it for the children's sake, for the teenager's sake, for the senior citizen's sake, for the pastor's sake. We need to see revival in the church. You may say, preacher, I don't know if my prayer alone could do it. I don't know if my prayer alone could reach heaven. Let me tell you something. It takes one brokenhearted prayer of a child of God to shake the entire earth. No matter how insignificant we may feel, no matter how downtrodden we may feel, it takes one brokenhearted prayer to shake this entire earth. Just because it's 2017, and just because I believe the coming of the Lord is right around the bend, does not mean we ought to give up now. Does not mean we ought to throw in the towel now. Because I believe that yes, there are revivals and days gone by, but that's in the past. That's in the past. It's gone. There's nothing we can do to resurrect that. God never duplicates himself, but he oftentimes exceeds himself. And I believe with all of my heart that if God's people will get under another burden and beg him to do something in this church and to do something in the youth group, do something in our homes, do something for our pastor, I believe that he would do it. For he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Y'all been shouting the victory at camp. Don't get quiet on me now. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. I believe that if we get on our knees, he would do it. He gave the breath and he got the glory. Verse number 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. God did great things under Pastor Stewart, Miss Juanita. He did great things in this church. I was saved under his ministry. You remember that Wednesday night, you and him were sitting right here. I came walking back down that aisle after everybody done left. I believe right here is where I got saved. I looked him in the eyes and said, Pastor, I got to get saved. Nobody in here. I didn't care that anybody saw. I just care that the Lord of heaven saw me. I just care that if he would be so kind as to reach down and touch the broken heart of a sinner and save him from an everlasting hell. The song she's about to sing is called There's Power in Prayer. There is power in prayer if you'll just believe. Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. But him not hesitating to prophesy shows complete faith in God's ability. It's one thing to say you believe in God, but it's a whole nother ball game when you actually act on it and believe in God. Lord, have mercy on our money, it says, in God we trust. That sucker that lived in the White House the last 8 years don't even know who God is. But let me tell you something. We do. He may know Allah, but we know Jehovah. I know Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I know Jehovah Nissi, my banner. And until he calls me home or he takes us up in the rapture, I'm going to wave that banner high. Parents, I have a question for you. For your children's sake, are you going to go to the throne room? For your children's sake, are you going to go to the throne room? Young people, for your church's sake, for your friend's sake, for your youth group's sake, are you going to go to the throne room? It's up to you. We can come in here, we can pray, we can sing, we can preach all we want to. But unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, it is all in vain. You can sit there like a knot on a log all you want to, but until you make a move towards Christ and beg him to do something in this church, he will not do it. He's not going to come do something for you that you don't want. It takes one brokenhearted prayer of a child of God to shake this church and then to shake this country. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Will you be the one that God uses to start revival in this church? You may sit there cold-hearted and calloused on God, not really caring if he does anything in this church. But let me tell you something, friend. Unless we do something, unless we do something, our youth groups are going to fall off into hell. Our churches are going to fall off into hell. unless we do something. Who is going to go get God? It may not matter to you, and if it doesn't matter to you, just sit there and don't mess this up. But for those of you that it matters to, that God does something in this church, that God saves these little kids that are walking around, if it matters to you, would you use your ability to go before a thrice holy God?